The Schizophrenic 60s, Television, Part 2. Dick Van Dyke, Addams Family, Beverly Hillbillies, and a few others. Now, the Dick Van Dyke Show premiered October the 3rd, 1961, wherever Laura Petrie, Mary Tyler Moore, was upset at her husband, played by Dick Van Dyke, she would sigh, "Oh, Rob." In this highly successful series, viewed as one of television's classic sitcoms because of its first-rate scripts and actors, the show's setting, fittingly, was behind the scenes of a fictitious TV comedy program, The Alan Brady Show, and working with head writer Rob Petrie were the writers loudmouth Buddy, Maury Amsterdam, and man-hungry Sally, Rose Marie. She always introduced homilies with the phrase, "My Aunt Agnes always says." Their office nemesis and the butt of many jokes was the producer of the fictitious comedy program, balding and pompous Mel Richard Deacon, whose reaction to just about anything Buddy did was yuck, and who endlessly prompted the put-down, "Shut up, Mel." The real show's writers and director was Carl Reiner, and occasionally played the role of Alan Brady. It was the first television sitcom about people who worked in television, and Carl Reiner, coming off his long association with Sid Caesar, created the series as a vehicle for himself. His producer, however, convinced him that Reiner should be the writer and hand over the on-camera lead to another actor, Dick Van Dyke. So the original show's title, Head of the Family, was changed to Highlight Van Dyke. The advice, hard to accept, proved to be wise. Once established, the show never fell from the top 20. The New York Post reviewed it as the best situation comedy on television. Humor grew out of its characters, and cast performed before a live audience. After 157 episodes and winning 15 Emmys, it went off the air in 1966 because the actors wished to pursue other projects. Perky Mary Tyler Moore going on to even greater success with her own sitcom in the 70s, The Beverly Hillbillies, premiere September the 26, 1962. To the supreme delight of viewers and the august horror of critics, the sitcom about a family of local yokels, the Clampets, fresh from their ancestral cabin in the Ozarks, flagrantly resettling in posh Beverly Hills, debuted to foul reviews but high on the hog ratings. The Clampett clan, headed by Father Jed, Buddy Epson, Granny Daisy Moses, Irene Ryan, had struck oodles of oil in the Ozarks and moved to a mansion at 518 Crestview Drive, Beverly Hills, in a dilapidated flatbed truck with their rickety furnishings, jugs of homebrew hard stuff, and pocket cash of about 25 million brand new dollars. The characters were crass and uneducated. They called gourmet food victuals, hung laundry to dry on the outdoor clothesline called the Crystal Blue Swimming Pool their cement pond, and allowed the family's barnyard critters to use it as a watering trough. Yet they seemed to possess more innate wisdom and common sense than their more conventionally well-to-do neighbors. The show's immense popularity was due precisely to this clash of cultures, the classic wise fools and the common sense philosophers pitted against the neighborhood of unprincipled scoundrels and pretentious snobs. The simple folk were better, happier people. The hillbilly sitcom also reinforced such appealing homilies as "Money Can't Buy Happiness," "Money Comes with Its Own Kind of Problems," and "Innocent Triumphs Over Corruption." The Beverly Hillbillies was a biblical parable made entertainingly palatable for network profit, and it was funny throughout its record-breaking 9-year run. The show especially composed theme song, The Ballad of Jed Clampett, made the national charts, while the program itself ranked number one for two consecutive seasons, attracting about 60 million viewers a week. In addition to Patriarch Jed and the potion-concocting Granny, the clan featured a curvaceous daughter, Ellie Mae, Donna Douglas, a hulking giant of a cousin, Jethro Bodine, Max Baer Jr., and the local banker, Mr. Drysdale, Raymond Daly, who gave his bank's bigot depositor special treatment. The Drysdales and the Clampets were in the best of situation tradition, next-door neighbors. The show was pure corn and sponsored by Kellogg's, so was so astonishingly successful that it ushered in a wave of country cousin copycats like Green Acres and Petticoat Junction. The show was last telecast in originals on September the 7th, 1971. My Favorite Martian, September the 29th, 1963. If an Ozark clan can find rating success, then one joke premise of moving to Beverly Hills, what about a Martian with an alien antenna on his head and powers of telepathy, clairvoyance, and astral projection, moving from Mars to Earth? This debuted in 63. My Favorite Martian, starring Raymond Walston as Uncle Martin, who in the first episode finds a reporter staring at him and asks, "What are you waiting for me to say? Take me to your leader?" Critics thought the show unendurably silly, but it was a huge success with viewers for 3 years. Uncle Martin the Martian had always hated Earth, criticizing the planet and its people from episode to episode, and on September the 4th, 1966, the show's producers let him return to Mars and commenced reruns. Bewitched, September the 17th, 1964. 4 years into the decade of the 60s, viewers had seen a hillbilly clan move to Beverly Hills, a Martian come to live on planet Earth, and two witches, benign Samantha Stevens, Elizabeth Montgomery, and her less benign witch bitch mother, Endora, Agnes Moorehead, move into an otherwise normal neighborhood. With the twitch of her nose, Sam could do anything, and her doting goofball husband, Darren, originally played by Dick York, a human advertising executive, no insult intended, was forever beseeching her to forsake the convenience of witchcraft, like cleaning the house with the nose twitching instant, for the humdrum life of a hard-working wife. In the course of the show's 7-year run, during which it won 3 Emmys, Sam and Darren had 2 children, a witch and a warlock, but what made the highly rated show truly bewitching, for male viewers at least, was the playful, slow, smoldering sexuality of Elizabeth Montgomery's Samantha. Viewers also adored Endora, never approving of her daughter's marriage to a mortal, and especially a bungling one like Darren. She infuriatingly calls him everything but his real name: Dumbo, Darwin, Dum-Dum, Dowerwood, Donald. In fact, only once during the show's long run did Endora actually say Darren, when placed under a spell, to be nice to him. Endora never understood how her daughter could carry on a relationship with something that is 90% water, 6% potash, and 4% mohair. So beloved was the character of Endora, who would teleport herself in for tea, that Agnes Moorehead was invited by NASA as a technical consultant to witness the 1969 launching of the historic Apollo flight to the moon, such as a broom-flying witch she was intimately familiar with the lunar terrain. The part of Sam had been offered to actress Tammy Grimes, then starring in Broadway's The Unsinkable Molly Brown, but she found the show's concept silly. The sitcom made Elizabeth Montgomery a star and was last telecast on July 1, 1972. The Addams Family premieres September the 18th, 1964, and The Munsters September the 29th, 1964. Martians and witches were not the only non-humans to have family sitcoms in the mid-60s. It was a fertile time for two close-knit families of suburban ghouls. In The Munster, 6-foot-7-inch-tall actor Fred Gwynne, as Herman Munster, was a dead ringer, so to speak, for Frankenstein's monster. He had a wife named Lily, Yvonne DiCarlo, a vampire, and a line of blood relatives like her 10-year-old pointed-eared son Eddie Wolfgang, a werewolf, and 378-year-old grandpa, akin to Count Dracula, but infinitely kinder. Plus family pets, Igor the Bat, a raven with an annoying habit of repeating nevermore, and a prehistoric mongrel named Spot. In their spiderweb-covered mansion at 1313 Mockingbird Lane, Lily cooked in a cauldron and served her clan bat's milk. The same season, 1964-65, the bizarre cartoon characters of Charles Addams traveled successfully from the pages of the New Yorker magazine to television as the Addams Family. The demented clan was headed by Father Gomez, John Aston, a swarmy lawyer with destructive urges, and his eerie wife Morticia, Carolyn Jones, a fiend with a penchant for black wedding gowns for herself, headless dolls for her daughter, and ray guns for her son. Lurch, Ted Cassidy, was the zombie-like butler. Thing was a servant who was literally the family's right-hand man, a disembodied human hand. The pets included an octopus, a black widow spider, and a man-eating plant named Cleopatra. Uncle Fester, Morticia's relative, was toothless, hairless, and liked to fish with sticks of dynamite. They lived in a funereal world and entertained relatives like Cousin It, Felix Silla, an entity covered entirely in blonde hair. Given all of this, the Adamses could never understand why neighbors stared at them. They thought of themselves as normal, an average clan, if anything, a bit boring. Therein lay the sitcom's central joke. How did television get 2 monster sitcoms the same season? Behind the scenes, ABC, then ranked number 3, learned in early 1964 that the top-rated network CBS planned to debut a sitcom based on a family of kind-hearted ghouls, the Munsters. Not to be outdone, ABC executives searched around for their own monster project and found it in a recently published collection of Charles Adams cartoons, which enjoyed a large cult following. Spookily, the two shows debuted the very same week in 1964, and more eerie still, both of them disappeared from the airwaves the same week in 1966. Of these shows, my family watched The Dick Van Dyke Show all the time, and my first wife watched it over and over and over and over again. And I think my favorite show of the whole of their whole series was when she opens a package and it has an inflatable life raft in it. That is just the most hilarious thing. I also enjoyed watching the Beverly Hillbillies. They were particularly humorous because I was living in southern Missouri in the Ozarks at the time. And the gentleman who played Jethro owned a lot of property around what is now Silver Dollar. And so they would bring that into play every so often. Never liked My Favorite Martian at all. Watched only a couple of shows of that. Watched Bewitched. It was okay. But I also liked the Addams Family. In particular, Lurch and The Thing and Cousin It. So those were shows that I watched most of the time. And I still enjoy watching, you know, reruns sometimes. So we still have quite a bit of television left because there's lots of shows. We'll eventually get the Star Trek. Don't worry. Now the source for this, Bonatti's Parades of Fads, Follies, and Manias, The Origins of Her Most Cherished Obsessions by Charles Bonatti. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website sumahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.